killed 70,000 coal miners and cost industry and government $45 billion. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
This is WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Wayne. How are you feeling?
Oh, pretty good, considering all the heat that's made everybody pretty sluggish for a while, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, the week last week ended with some bad news, the well-publicized less-than-expected jobs report, and the market kind of responded with a thud on Friday. Mm-hmm. However, the week as a whole wasn't that bad, right?
No, it really wasn't. Sort of, as you say, the heat wave and the short week because of July 4th kind of acted like a haze over the market last week. But you're right. Surprisingly, we hung in there pretty well. We're going to talk more about the jobs report in detail shortly. But clearly, investors are once again concerned about a number of things. The euro deal may fall apart. You know, a slowing economy is on everyone's mind. Some analysts over the weekend used the words zombie-like economy, running in mud, and they expressed concerns of a double-dip recession. But remember, the last one officially ended 3 years ago now. So why is the market kind of hanging in there surprisingly well, meaning up over 7% year-to-date? Call it the optimist case, but some analysts believe the market's resilience has several main components right now. Number one, they believe that the corporate earnings reporting season won't be as bad as people expect. We're going to talk about more of that later today as well. There's also an increasing belief that the U.S. can decouple themselves from the rest of the world's problems, notably Europe. That, I think, is a debatable thing because we're all so intertwined right now. Number three, I think some people believe that the so-called fiscal cliff of taxes rising in January won't be as bad as some people think it will be. And lastly, there is just still so much cash on hand yielding nothing that a lot of analysts believe it's got to go somewhere, and stocks appear to be one of the cheapest asset classes out there.
There's a pretty big merger in the news this morning. Virginia company being acquired.
Yeah, I read this, and my first reaction was, well, that didn't take long. We have our first big M&A deal after the Supreme Court decision to uphold Obamacare recently. Health insurer WellPoint, which many of us around here, Wayne, remember as Anthem and Trigon years ago, if you remember those names, is buying Virginia Beach-based Amerigroup for $4.5 billion. WellPoint is paying all cash for Amerigroup, which serves Medicare and Medicaid recipients. That had been an area that many observers thought was going to be a big beneficiary of the new health care plan, which will drive a lot more people to those government-assisted programs. This looks like a win-win for both parties, since Amerigroup shareholders get a 43% pop in their stock. That's not bad. And WellPoint says the deal will be accretive to their earnings as early as next year, and WellPoint now will have exposure in 19 states. I think we have not heard the last deal because of the new health care situation.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to that jobs report for June that came out Friday morning. It's been pretty well dissected by now, everybody agreeing that it was less than expected, disappointing, if you will. However, I'm going to ask you to look behind the headlines and tell us some of the hidden trends, perhaps, in that report.
I don't know if they're so hidden, Wayne, but the job support, I have to admit to you, is one of the more frustrating pieces of economic data that we get every month. Frustrating because it's an amalgamation of several pieces of information, frankly, with some statistical guessing and assumptions made by the government built in there, not to mention the fact that revisions are constant, and I'm not talking little revisions. The revisions are major sometimes that go back several months. It also happens to be one of the most closely watched numbers in political footballs out there right now. But for the record, the number of new jobs created in June was 68,000. Okay, that was well below the 100,000 predicted. And I might note, Goldman Sachs even said last week they thought it was going to be well over 200,000. And this comes on top of April and May, which were also well below 100,000. That makes this officially the worst quarter for job creation in 2 years. The unemployment rate did remain just over 8%, and what we call the labor force participation rate, which measures the actual percentage of Americans working, stayed at about 60%, which is the lowest in about 40 years. Not surprisingly, Wayne, hiring of temp workers is very strong. Employers call this the try before you buy situation because, you know, benefits are not usually offered to temp workers. But what does all this mean? One thing I think makes it more likely is we're likely to see yet another form of economic stimulus from the Fed, maybe as early as August. It would likely come in the form of buying more long U.S. Treasury bonds to keep their rates down. I find it hard to believe that rates need to go lower since we're already at rates from 50 years ago. Some observers do remain concerned that there is a diminishing effect each time the Fed acts like this. But jobs report, the trend is very low right now.
Mm-hmm. We have about 40 seconds left to talk about the corporate earnings report season, which is with us again.
Yep.
What are some of the expected findings?
All right, well, it starts today. Alcoa is always the first one up, and the season begins with what else? Diminished expectations. For the last several quarters in a row, companies guide expectations lower, which I think makes it somewhat easier for them to surpass those expectations. Starting with today, most analysts see earnings coming in kind of flat to a little bit negative year over year. One reason they're giving is because U.S. dollar is rising, and that's hurting multinational companies. But fear not, if recent history holds up, on average about 60% of companies beat their earnings report each quarter, which sort of lifts investors' moods. The sectors that are forecast to do the best this time include industrials, information technology, and consumer staples.
Okay, thanks a lot to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Jean Urien, sending son Brendan and granddaughter Abby happy milestone birthday wishes, and the rest of the Urien Pennington family, much love. It's 8:40.